You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's take our Bibles. We're turning to the book of Mark tonight, Mark 14. And it has been, I asked the orchestra up here, are you cold? They said, we're freezing. It has been an ice cube up here. And I don't know if it's cold there, but they changed it. So it's good now. How many, it's fine in here, just fine. It's perfect. How many, it's too cold in here? It's too cold. How many, it's just too hot in here? Nobody's too hot. So we got some cold folks there, but we got it adjusted here, and I think we'll be fine. Tomorrow's a holiday, I understand. Staff will be working. We're looking forward to that. I think it's a holiday for the school, but the school's in session. College is in session, and we're ready to go. We have an inauguration tomorrow, and some of you faculty, if you'll check with Brother Oxendine, I'm certain he'll let you turn a TV on or something. Is it 9 a.m. Pacific time, I think, 12 noon Eastern time? So you don't need to go to that class. Well, we have to go to it, but maybe you can watch some of the inauguration. I'm not certain about all that. Mark chapter 14, and I'll begin in verse number 17. This is just going to be a text that we use as a launching pad tonight. As we look at, in fact, I'm not going to give you my message title to the very close. And so you're going to have to pay very close attention. And in the evening, he cometh with the 12. That's powerful, with the 12. Not with the 10 or the 9, but with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. They began to be sorrowful and say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, the one that of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. For the Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good it were that man had he never been born. I've just read the account of Judas, who's going to betray God, and I'm going to refer to the 12 disciples, but sometimes I'll say the 11 to begin tonight. You know, I want to begin with 12 disciples. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be chosen to be one of the 12? Millions and millions of people on planet Earth. And yet God said, I want 12 men. I wonder my question tonight, would God have chosen you, man? Lady, would God have chosen you? Mother, would he have chosen you? Sir, dad, would he have chosen you? College student, pastor, would he have chosen me? I must confess, I doubt if he would have chosen me. I wish I could say he would have chosen me. But there was 12 disciples. There were 12 disciples. Jesus called to help him. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother, John. Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus. That is Simon's Judas and Bartholomew. 12 disciples. These were fine men. These were men of quality. These were men that were hand-picked by Jesus to be his 12 disciples. One became a traitor. I want you to go with me to the Gospel of Luke tonight when we think of these 12 men. And the first thing these 12 men said, or one of the first things, they said in chapter 11 and verse number 1, and it came to pass that he was praying a certain place, and he ceased. One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. One of the first things one of these 12 men said, God, teach us to pray. You know, you have not because you ask not. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to them that ask him? Ask and he shall receive. Seek and he shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. Man ought always to pray and not to pray. Pray without ceasing. The most important ingredient in our Christian life is our prayer life. Undoubtedly, prayer life would have to be primary. More than soul winning. More than tithing. Maybe I'm wrong there. But to pray. Prayer is just simply talking to God and saying, God, I am not capable. I think of all my prayer requests. All my prayer requests is where I'm not capable. I'm not able to perform. I'm not able to preach. I'm not able to win souls to Christ. I'm not able to do this or do that. But everything that is in my life, everything of any good comes by prayer and fasting. Years ago, maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago, I saw my wife. I was in my study at the house, and I saw her working. She was praying, and she was quiet, and I was studying, and we were in the same room, and I could see her prayer journal. And I told our class about this a while back. I could see her prayer journal, and it was page after page after page. But every page had a yellow marker through it, many different lines. And I finally, it was inquisitive. I would never look at a prayer journal. But I said to her, I said, honey, what is the yellow marker? What does that stand for? Is it just something to highlight it? And this is an urgent request. What is that? She goes, oh, no. And she said something that was very humbling to me. She said, those are answers to prayer. When was the last time you had an answer to prayer? The book of James tells us that because of envy and strife, we don't have answer to prayer. Because of strife, because of sin, we don't have an answer to prayer. Because of self, we don't have answer to prayer. Do you have answer to prayer? Do you pray? Do you have a place of prayer? Do you have a prayer list? You have a prayer journal. Are you walking with God in prayer? And the disciples, these 12 men said, Lord, teach us to pray. Number one, teach us to pray. Secondly, turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. In Matthew 24, they said, teach us to pray. They said, secondly, teach us about prophecy. Teach us to pray. Teach us about prophecy. Number one, teach us to. And secondly, teach us about prophecy. In chapter 24, Matthew 24, and in verse number 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples, these 12, came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus was telling about the end of the world and all this prophecy. There's going to be deceivers. There's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. There's going to be parents against children and children against parents. And all these things are beginning to sorrow. And they said, teach us more. We want to know more about prophecy. Oh, thank God for these disciples. They said, we want to know about prayer. We want to know about prophecy. I wonder, are you reading prophecy? God's word says this in the book of Revelation. Blessed is he that readeth and heareth and keepeth the words of this prophecy. God said he'll bless you if you just read the book of Revelation. Blessed is he that readeth and heareth and keepeth the words of this prophecy. God will bless you just by reading the book of Revelation. God will place blessing upon your life. I want the blessing of God. And these 12 men said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us about prophecy. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Teach us about power. Mark chapter 9. I'm glad to hear the rustling of the pages. Teach us about power. teach us about prophecy, teach us about prayer. Number one, these 12 men said, teach us about. Secondly, teach us about. And then thirdly, teach us about power. The Bible says that there was this one that was gnashing teeth, pining away. They spake unto the disciples, that, but they could not cast them out. Verse 18. Verse number 29 says, and verse number 28, and when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast them out? And he said unto them, this kind, this powerful kind, this miraculous kind can only come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. God wants to place power on your life. You know, I'm thinking tonight, I wonder if I could have been one of those 12 men. Brother Andy, it really, I wonder if I could have been. I really doubt it. All of them but one, John, who wrote the Gospel of John and who wrote 1st and 2nd John and who wrote Revelation. He was the only one that was not martyred for the cause of Christ. The only one. John was boiled in oil alive. And then they took him out and he lived through that experience. His skin had to be permanently scarred. His body was racked with pain. But God exiled him on the Isle of Patmos. And on that isle, he wrote us the book of John. What a great man. What a great man. These disciples were so, there's other concerns, but there's three. They're concerned, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us about prophecy. Lord, teach us about power. Power with thee, that we can cast out demons and we can heal the sick. Teach us about these things. But there's another crowd I want you to see tonight. And I'd like you to go to Mark chapter 14. There's 12 men, but of the 12, there are three men that are very special. They're very special. 12 men, all good men but one. 11 great men. At 12 great apostles. They sat with Jesus, they dined with Jesus, they prayed with Jesus, they worked with Jesus. 12 great men. But then there's three that stand out. They're special men. All were great, but these three stood out. In chapter 14, and my Bible says in verse number 33, verse 32, and he came to a place which is called Gethsemane. And there he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John. You know, throughout the Gospels, you'll always see Peter, James, and John. He took all those disciples to the place of prayer, but then he said to these three, you come with me. How special. Brother Jules, I think of that, how special those three men must have been to Jesus Christ. And they were special in the garden. Luke chapter 8, if you'll go there to Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, these are just a few examples. They were special when it came to the house. When he came, verse 51, when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John again. And you'll find it throughout the entire, all the time, throughout the gospel. Peter, James, and John in a sailboat. Peter, James, and John in a sailboat. They were with them in a sailboat. They were with them in the garden. They were with them in this house. And turn with me to Luke chapter 9 and verse number 28. And it came to pass, and 8 days after these sayings, the transfiguration, he took Peter and John and James and went into a mountain to pray. When Jesus was transfigured, all three of these were like David's mighty three men. You have 12 disciples, all good men, all great men, all martyred for the cause of Christ, all stayed faithful but one. great men. 11 great men. But of the 11, 3 stood out. But of all the 11 men, 1 was very special to Jesus. I'd like you to turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John in chapter 19. There's one that really excelled. He was the one that was boiled alive. He was the one that writes the book of John. But he wasn't martyred for Christ. John stood out. I want you to see how he stood out. He stood out regarding Jesus' family. Jesus is on the cross in chapter 19. And verse number 25, and there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother, the disciple. Remember a few weeks ago I preached on the other disciple, or that other disciple, or that disciple. John never refers to himself. He never lauded himself. He just said that other disciple, standing whom by whom he loved. I'll show you in a moment. This is John. The disciple standing by whom he loved. He saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And he saith he to his disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. John, he could entrust his own mother into his care. You know, this is a high calling to be this one. The disciple that Jesus loved, only one that says he loved. He loved all of them. But he made very clear to us that he loved this one. How about at the sepulcher? In chapter number 20, verse number 33, Peter therefore went with that other disciple, that's John, and they came to the sepulcher, and so they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Jesus was so concerned with his family, his mother. Jesus was concerned at the sepulcher. Jesus was concerned with faith, verse number 8. And he went in, and the other disciple came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. That's important. He believed in the resurrection. For as yet he knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead, and the disciples went again unto their own home. But this one believed. He had faith. Notice what the Bible says in chapter number 21. Verse number 7, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith to Peter. That disciple, you talk about humility of heart. It wasn't John. It's not all about me. I'm the one. I'm the favorite. I'm the one that he really singled out. He loves me. No, he said, just that disciple whom he loved. The humility of Peter. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 20 of chapter 21. And Peter, turning about, seeth that the disciple whom Jesus loved. Jesus had a special relationship with one. Tonight I'm speaking on 11, 3, or 1. You know, years ago I preached a message from Exodus 14. I alluded to it this morning, because when you're trapped on the journey of life, and those Israelites were fleeing from Pharaoh, and they were trapped, God entrapped them, and they turned from Pi-Hahiroth, and they turned, and the Bible says Pharaoh was pursuing, and he said, now they're entangled in the land. It was God's idea to trap them. I wonder, are you trapped tonight? trapped in your marriage or trapped in your finances or trapped with your health or trapped somehow, and God turned you, and it's all God's doing. They couldn't go forward. The water was in front of them. There was no bridge. There was no opening. The water was in front of them. They couldn't go to the right or left. They were trapped in there. They couldn't turn around because those Egyptians were coming, and they were trapped. It's the most quoted scripture in the Bible. Exodus 14, where I'm at in verse 14. Most quoted scripture, because if they don't get it right here, they won't get the rest of it right. They were trapped. They had to believe God, and Moses stilled the people. The people spoke of stoning him. And they said, no, hold on, let's wait. And God, that night, began to pull the waters back. And he made them dry ground. And they got up in the morning, and they went through on dry ground. Daniel talks about that experience, and Moses talks about that experience, and David talks about that experience, and Isaiah and Ezekiel, all of them talk about it. They all talk about it. It's the most quoted text. And I said there's three words in that passage. Fear ye not. God doesn't bless fear. Fear removes faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Fear ye not. You Jews, fear ye not. Three words. Two words. Stand still. Vanessa sang so beautifully this morning about it. Stand still. See what God's going to do. And then the one word, see. Three, two, one. This is my second message in 50 years, 49 years, with numbers. 11, 3, are one. There's nothing wrong with being chosen, being one of the 11. You imagine how awesome that would have to have been. Jesus came and saw John and saw Andrew and said, you boys come on with me. Well, we're fishermen. And he saw Levi and he saw these men and he began to call them to himself. And he began to train them. He trained them in prayer. He trained them in prophecy. He trained them in power. Oh, what mighty men they were. I wonder, could you be part of that 11 group tonight? Or maybe you could step it up and you could be part of that 3 group. Peter, James, and John. Or maybe you could be the disciple that Jesus loved. I want to be that disciple. I want to be that disciple. I want to live so close to God that he'd say, Jack, I'm going to answer your prayers because you love me so much. And I love you. Jack, I want to spend time with you. I want to bless your life. I want to anoint your life because you're trying to follow my book. You're trying to bring up a generation for Christ. I want to be that one. Anyone's good. Be part of the 11 tonight. Be part of the 3. Be part of the 1. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight, 11, 3, or 1. All are special. To be chosen, be one of the 12 disciples. Those 12 disciples, 12, and to be Peter, James, and John, those 3 are to be that disciple that Jesus loved. Just loved John. That he could instruct him to take care of mama for me, please. Take care of my mother. He could instruct him how to behave. He instructed him at the sepulcher and he instructed him with faith. God help us to be like John.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.